Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you think, I'm just saying, it's not that you don't know ball. Like, Mike in Collinwood knows football. I'm not saying that Mike in Collinwood don't know football. Quite the contrary. Definitely knows what he's talking about. But if you're saying it should have been a dive, then just come out and maybe don't trust Deshaun Watson with the football. Third down. Trying to keep that clock running. Just come out and say you didn't trust Deshaun Watson in that situation. Do you trust Deshaun Watson in that situation? If you don't, then hell, go after Kevin Stefanski all you want.
Ken, you did ask me point blank, like, what do I think Stefanski will do the next time they're in the exact same situation?
And I think he's going to boot it with him the very next time. I guarantee to you.
I said I'd maybe prefer a handoff at that point.
Deshaun Watson is not going to make the same mistake twice. There ain't no way. Ain't no way that quarterback's going to make that mistake again. If Deshaun Watson was a third grader, he wouldn't make that mistake again. And I coach him. I know, buddy. They don't make that mistake again if you let him know.
Well, you got to let him know.
You got to let him know. You got to keep the main thing the main thing.
That is what you got to do.
So, did you want to just run the ball? You just want to run a dive there? Because I don't think you really trust Deshaun Watson with the football in his hands. And even I'm wishy-washy on some of that. I'm going, well, he's the franchise quarterback. He's supposedly the franchise quarterback. You got to be able to trust a professional quarterback to make the right decision there. The right decision was to go down because Josh Hines Allen is a good football player.
I'm curious.
Maybe he did run it to the wrong side. We can discuss that all you want.
We're sitting there debating the play call. I'm surprised I'm not hearing more people say, hand the ball off and play for the field goal, in which the kickers are annihilating 50-yard field goals at an all-time record pace. Because that would have given you an 8-point lead, right? So would have forced Jacksonville to not only come down the field and score a touchdown, but also convert a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, but you can't go for the field goal in that spot.
Because if you miss, you're giving them that field position.
And remember, the weather's not good. So, you know, when they play in that beautiful Brook Park indoor facility someday, then yeah, maybe you can decide you want to kick it from the 35-yard line, which would be a 53-yard field goal. Go right on ahead and do it. But in bad weather in Jacksonville, we had Nathan Zagura on the pregame show. He was talking about the grass. Grass was in bad shape yesterday.
Well, I said you could see.
He said it was like a mix. He goes, it wasn't like one straight brand of grass. He said it was.
Not always greener, guys.
You had some Bermuda. You had some fescue.
You might have had some kikuya over there at the 30-yard line.
I love some good kikuya.
It was a little rough.
You could see ETN. And again, had you had the Jim Nance, Tony Romo crew with the 50,000 cameras, you would have seen it was a really big play in the game that will be lost forever in the second half. Trevor Lawrence is scrambling on the far sideline, and ETN shifts, comes back, falls down, would have been wide open. The Browns defender on the play, I'll have to go back and look, was out of the play. Would have been an easy touchdown, but he fell, and it was just labeled, oh, it's an incompletion. They never showed it again.
Yeah.
And I went back and rewound it on the DVR, and I'm like, oh, my God, that would have been there. That would have been an easy touchdown pass and catch for a day where not a lot was easy for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but the footing was an issue, absolutely.
216-474-0092. Let me get to Mario in Cleveland. Mario, you're next up on the fan.
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Hi, Mario.
It's not every day that I agree with Ken, but I agree with Ken. I mean, the play call.
Well, we don't have to agree with each other all the time. We gotta like each other. We have to live with each other. We have to live in this society.
Yeah, definitely like you. Yeah. I mean, you're my man. I listen to you in the morning. You know, but sometimes I just don't agree. But
of course,
I do think the Browns saved their season by winning. That was the question, you know, that I heard. So it would have been the super panic button and we would have lost the game. And I think they don't trust Deshaun Watson, clearly, you know, but why should you trust that guy? He ain't giving us nothing to trust into. So, I mean, it was a good win. Like I said, I do agree with what you said. Yeah, I just think we got to go with more hope for next year. I heard the post game, Stefanski was all excited and almost like he won a playoff game. So that lets you know how that we lost that game.
Well, because that lets us know. By the way, stay with me for a second here, Mario. That kind of shows you. I know they played it close to the vest all week. It kind of just shows you how loud the noise was around them. Does it not? Does it not? I mean, my God, to hear him that way after that, it's like they got a breath of air while they were being held in a tub for hours, and they finally were able to come up for air because it felt that way for them. Because I think that some of the stuff this last week was really, really rough for them, and they needed it as bad as they could get, and they got one.
Yeah, could you imagine waking up and the whole division was 0-2 and Pittsburgh is 1-0?
Yep.
Like, that's a nightmare. But, hey, we won. We got it. I enjoy listening to you guys this morning, and go Browns.
Mario, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Like, he should be able to, you know, for fans, and I find it tough to trust the guy, too. You know, I am going to make a big deal about that third down play because I find it hard to trust him, too. I'm a turtle-up, conservative, offensive guy. Meaning, I bring the tight ends in. I don't load them to each way or the other. I bring the offense in if I don't trust a quarterback. And after last week, I find it very hard to trust him. And I think that fans obviously do not trust him. If we were going to ask, do you trust Deshaun Watson? I think a lot of fans would say, no, absolutely not. We do not trust Deshaun Watson. But Kevin Stefanski knows his job relies on it. And I think every coach, no matter what level you are, you got to trust your player that you're in, because if you can't trust him to run that play, if you really, truly can't trust him to run that play, then you can't have him out there. That's why, like, I used to be a believer when I was a kid. Hey, when a guy fumbles, you can't give him the ball back. No, put the ball back in his hands. You trusted him enough to run the ball 20 times. If he fumbles on the 21st time, doesn't mean you all of a sudden take the ball out of his hands. The 23rd time coming up, make sure he gets the ball. So I'm going to put, if I trust him, if I truly trust him, that means he's out there to begin with. If he's out there to begin with, then I'm going to trust him to make the right play. So if we find ourselves in that situation again, if I were Kevin Stefanski, yeah, run the bootleg again. Because there might be some people out there thinking, there's no way they're going to run that bootleg again. There's not a chance they're going to run that bootleg again. Or depending on how the defense is set up, if all of a sudden I see my corner and he's drifting off a little bit because he was supposed to be playing tight on that spot, and he did in the Jacksonville sense, but if he's bumped off a little bit, check out or run the ball with Deontay, and let's see if we can go ahead and punt this thing away and play some defense for 30 more seconds.
I think the one thing we've definitely seen from Stefanski since he's been in Cleveland, no matter who the quarterback is, he has trust in almost all those guys, whether it's Jacoby Brissett, whether it's PJ Walker, whether it's DTR in a week.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Before he had no idea he was going to be the starting quarterback, and then he gave him the same exact game plan in that terrible game.
They're NFL quarterbacks. Yeah, it's not like it's...
But he doesn't...
Freshman coming in because the senior got hurt.
He's had so many of them now that I just kind of feel like that's who he's been. I don't think all the coaches are like that in the NFL.
Yeah, the quarterback is definitely just another player on Stefanski's team for him. It's not...
It doesn't necessarily matter who the guy is.
Yes.
Oh, I think it matters. Why doesn't it matter?
I'm saying that...
I think his play calling's the same no matter who's... behind the center.
The shots that he takes?
Yes. I mean,
the going for it on fourth down?
Week four last year with Dorian Thompson-Robinson when I lost my mind on that flea flicker.
That's why I referenced,
I'm going, what are we doing here? Because at that point, I would have taken out a lot of pages. That's exactly what it is. Yep, you guys are right. 216-474-0092. Are we worried about Amari Cooper right now here?
I am surprised how badly it's been for him the first 2 weeks and the lack of chemistry between him and Deshaun and the drops. I find it hard to believe this continues. He's too good. Like, he's been too steady. He's been a stabilizing force since he got traded for and came to the Browns. And so we're all looking at the same thing. We're all pinpointing the exact same thing. Yeah, he was in trade rumors. Yeah, he wanted a contract and he didn't get it. Yeah, he sent out a tweet or an Instagram. We all saw that. So we're all led to believe that He's not happy with his situation right now, and it's messing with him.
Okay, you didn't think that he's, like, some people were banning about, like, the purposeful thing or something like that.
Well, that
like,
that makes no sense of contract.
So you're saying it might be a distraction for him, is all the stuff he's talking about.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're watching it, you're seeing it, by the way, with Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Did you see him lose his composure yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Because I think that the way, first off, beating Kansas City is one of those things that is almost unattainable for a lot of people. They've been able to do it before. But I think, how long has it been? Did they beat him last year at all? Because they got over him and got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but I
and
think
they
other
beat
than
him
that,
again. They beat him again the next year, regular season, and then they lost in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I don't remember last year.
So it's been a little bit back and forth on that.
It was minus Joe Burrow, I believe.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit back and forth on those. I think with Amari, I need Amari to get better because I don't know when David Njoku is going to come back. Hopefully, David Njoku comes back here in the next couple of weeks. I'm not just going to guarantee he's going to come back against the Giants. I'm not sure. It's a high ankle sprain.
They keep listing him week to week as opposed to putting him on the injured.
Yeah, and so maybe I can get him back against the Raiders coming up in a couple of weeks, but I don't know if I'm going to get him back against the Giants. So if I don't have David Njoku, or I know I don't have David Njoku at 100%, and not to say I don't know what Amari's situation is. I know he kind of hurt his foot a little bit over there in the Minnesota joint practice. Maybe it was a little bit worse than what we thought it was. I'm not sure. But I can tell, I haven't seen these type of, I remember the one drop he had was like a Thursday night against the Jets, or I think it was where it hit him right in the breadbasket. And then it bounced off his chest and on the ground, which would have been an easy first down a couple of years ago. And then they had to switch that back up, and they ended up scoring a touchdown later on in the game. So even then, he's been able to bounce back from. I can't explain what's going on here. Even the pass he caught on the third down, the one caller referenced on third and three, where he ended up taking a step back untouched, trying to gain more yards, and didn't get a first down. Even that, I think, is irking some of the fans. So I don't know. I think it's still a little bit early to start to lose our patience with Amari Cooper. He's been a fine wide receiver for the last couple of years for the Cleveland Browns. I think fans really, really like him. But I don't know how to explain it, Tone. I don't know what
it's
to
weird.
Make of the guy.
It's definitely weird, but I don't think you give up on him. And I don't think Deshaun gives up on him.
No, you can't.
And this is, you know, it's just beneficial for all parties involved to get this thing righted. But this is the one aspect. When we think about, hey, the Browns don't give in on this stuff, and the Browns aren't just going to hand over a contract, you know, unnecessarily to someone in his age bracket, or whatever. But this is the one analytically you're not going to have. You're not on the spreadsheet when you talk contracts. It's not going to say the emotional toll some of this stuff can play on or can be in effect on certain guys. Like that's the one thing that. You can't really factor in because you don't know until he goes out there. I mean, it's shocking to all of us to see a guy with his pedigree look like that.
He had two yesterday. I think he had one on last Sunday. I mean, that's three. I can't even remember three off the top of my head. I only remember that one because it sticks out so terribly. Before that, that's about it that I can remember of Amari Cooper. I'm sure there may be some other ones that I'm forgetting, but off the top of my head, those are the other ones I can remember. And the only ones I remember is because they're so quote-unquote frequent because you have three of them. And then they're recent. And it has to be better. It has to be. Because I like, so far, if there's one thing, I've liked the Jerry Jeudy experience so far. I think he's been pretty damn good for the Browns. Do I want to make him a number one wide receiver? Do I want to take Amari Cooper off the field someday? I know that next year would be that time we talk about it. I'd rather wait until next year. I'm not removing Amari Cooper. I need Amari Cooper, but I need him to catch the ball. Jeremy in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on the Free Odyssey app. He's next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, thanks and love the show. Also, I was hating on Watson all week long. I was down in the dumps, but it was nice seeing him drive himself into the end zone. I loved it. I thought he needed to do that, and I felt good as a Browns fan. Well, I'm calling because I remember last year, Amari Cooper multiple times said that what makes Joe Flacco an elite quarterback is the way that he throws the ball, that he almost doesn't have to – you don't have to work to hang on to it.
I remember we played that clip. We did go over that. We didn't want to make a huge deal about it, but some receivers just do like the way the ball comes off from certain guys.
And I'm wondering if that's not the case here, that there's just something that needs to be tweaked in either the way that's not, either in his technique or something like that, or you know, I don't want to think it's anything. I don't want to think he's underplaying, of course not, but I just that just kept standing out to me that when he was saying that.
But let me tell you this, Jeremy. I think it stands out to a lot of people. I don't care if it were Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Charlie Fry now, and you're breaking up a little bit. Thank you very much for the call. I don't care if it's any one of those guys, any Browns quarterback that's ever lived. That ball on third down coming near side, it was too perfect to drop, and he dropped it. I don't care who threw the ball. I don't care where it looked like coming out of. He knows way better than anybody else. He can't drop that football. I mean, that was downright unbelievable, dropping that ball. And it cost us at least 4 points right there off the tippy top. Could have been another touchdown. Could have helped us put it away, especially on the ensuing. Wasn't that the play right before the ensuing? There was a field goal, then the ensuing kickoff, where if Dustin Hopkins wouldn't have been offsides, he'd have the ball back in the red zone all over again, and then we might have been laughing at the end of the fourth quarter by the time it was all done.